This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray.
Lord, we read in your holy scripture from Paul saying, "Let the same mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus." Help us to learn how we are to do that. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls, our very bodies, and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. So that line from Paul's letter to this little village called Philippi says, and I'll say again, let the same mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. Well, that's all well and good, right? But how do we do that? So to set the tone for beginning to understand that and for this Palm Sunday, we might hear something like that in the midst of some turmoil that we are going through and say, well, how are we supposed to have the mind of Jesus? How are we supposed to know that the Messiah is alive in our lives? I'd like to take you through just a very brief guided imagery. So if you would, close your eyes, if you feel comfortable, and take a deep breath. And another deep breath. And know that you have nowhere to rush to, nowhere to be, but right here in this moment. Now imagine that you are at home and you are feeling particularly tense or fearful. Maybe even trembling about something. You've been worried all night. And finally, just before dawn, you decide to get up. And picture yourself doing so, making a cup of tea or coffee or getting some water or juice, whatever your morning routine is. Because you still feel somewhat uneasy, you decide to get out of the house, and you decide to go to the ocean for the sunrise. And so, still out of sorts, you go. You make yourself go. And you arrive at the ocean. And you get out of your car and you sit and you're taken out of yourself somehow as you look out over the calm sea with just a glimmer of light beginning to be seen on the horizon. You feel a gentle breeze against your skin. You can hear the soft call of the seagulls and quiet waves lapping at the shore and the sky that's now really beginning to lighten. Then you notice soft pastel pinks and oranges and a little blue and a few wispy white clouds. And the sky gets brighter and brighter as the sun now rises quickly, becoming this blazing, shining, bright light. And you realize that you feel calmer, hopeful even, and you take a deep breath and another deep breath as you let your anxiety just go and you feel much more at ease. And as you are ready, you can open your eyes. And I'd like you to take that feeling, if you were able to get there, that shift from uneasiness to one of hope and calm, and I'd like you to multiply that to the nth degree. And that, it seems to me, is how the people who were following Christ felt in the midst of the tumult that was going on in their area, within themselves, and the fear that they must have had of being persecuted for being a follower of Jesus, especially now as the heat was building and he was becoming more and more aware that they were going to get him. But when you were with Jesus, this guy just had a way of bringing you peace, a peace that was beyond any understanding. And God knows they needed it. And God knows we need it now in so many ways. The scene was Passover. And really, right now, our Jewish friends are going to be starting Passover tomorrow. It usually falls right around the same time as Holy Week and Easter. And so the scene is Passover, and everybody was coming to Jerusalem for this big celebration. And yet the city itself in Jerusalem was in, the word is turmoil in the scripture, and the Greek word is actually seis, S-E-I-S. And it's the same root word as seismic that we use when we're talking about an earthquake. It was that kind of a tumult, that kind of a turmoil where things were just, they were trembling, they were so fearful that something was going to happen. They knew it. They could feel it. And on one side of town, there was this huge parade coming into town. It was Pontius Pilate, the governor. He was sent there to keep the peace. Nobody should be riled up. Because after all, he worked for the governor. And if anything happened, he was the one that was going to get in trouble. So on one side of Jerusalem was this big procession coming in. And chariots and horses and horns and this big, you know, frou-fra. But about a mile and a half outside of town, in Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, was another procession that was just getting together. And this is a picture of the map. So if you see Bethphage there on the top right, and the Mount of Olives is where that is, so it's like a mountain, and they're going to be going down the mountain toward the city of Jerusalem. And the next slide shows what that terrain might have looked like. There may have been a little few villages there. But I like this one particularly because it's such a peaceful scene of Jesus and his followers bringing that peace into the midst of the city that was trembling with fear and with that tumultuous activity that was going on at the time. Now, to really depict how different this particular procession is going to be, Jesus was very aware of what he was doing, and it seems that he had, most scholars believe, who are way smarter than me, believed that Jesus had prearranged the mode of transportation so that it would be ready in the village. And he sent the two disciples ahead to get, if we could see the next slide, of the donkey and a colt. And it's funny because, you know, as we're reading it, especially just this year in Matthew, it says that Jesus was riding on them. And that's always been a big question. And it bugged me so much, I spent way too much time researching it this week. But what they determined is that it was something called Semitic parallelism. How's that for a big phrase? And it was the Hebrew way of just talking about two things at the same time. It wasn't that Jesus was like some circus performer with a leg on both, you know, coming in. He was just riding this donkey, and her colt was there with her. And I found this beautiful explanation by John Crossan, and he says this, and I quote, "Jesus asked for two animals, a donkey with her little colt beside her, and Jesus rides them in the sense of having them both as part of his demonstration's highly visible symbolism. In other words, Jesus doesn't ride a stallion or a mare, a mule or a male donkey, and not even a female donkey, he rides the most unmilitary mount imaginable, a female nursing donkey with her little colt trotting beside her. Isn't that just so Jesus? Right? Think of how he was born, you know, into a stable and laid in the manger, which was a feeding trough. It's the perfect symbolism that he continues this humility. And that's how he's processing into town from this side. So into Jerusalem they go, and the crowd goes wild with hope because they were dying, literally, for somebody that would lead them finally in peace. They were just like you and me. They just wanted to be able to have their families and their homes and their meals and see their children growing up healthy. And they couldn't do any of that because of the oppression of the Roman government. And so, as Jesus is coming into town, they pick up palm branches, which are symbols in the day in the Greco-Roman world of victory. So if you have one of those big ones, and if you don't, take your little ones. Everybody should have gotten one when you came in, right? And we're going to proclaim and see these as a symbol for us of this Jesus in our midst, because they were waving these palms, and they threw them on the road, and they threw their garments on the road. And they proclaimed, and what this has to do with us is that we can be reminded of just that, that no matter what is going on in the midst of your lives, into that tumult, into that unknown, comes Jesus in peace and all humility. And so, if you will now, we're going to practice the blessing, the end of the blessing. We're going to do a little practice, and then I'll do the blessing. And the practice is that when I say, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," you all say, "Hosanna in the highest," okay? And we're going to wave these when we do it. We'll hold them like this for the blessing prayer, and then at the end, we'll wave them. So let's practice. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Okay, I love it. That's great. All right. So, may we hold these palms. And when you take them home, knowing that you are holding them in your hands and blessing them now as we bless them together, knowing that Christ's presence is with you always. So place them somewhere in your house. If you want to take the big ones, you can. But place the little ones somewhere in your house so that whenever you see them, you're reminded of that peace. Let us pray. God of all knowing, on this day so long ago, Jesus Christ our Lord entered the holy city of Jerusalem and was proclaimed as King of Kings by those who spread their garments and palm branches along the way. Bless these branches, we pray. May they be a sign for us of Christ reigning in our hearts and in our lives. May we welcome the humble and holy and peaceful Christ to touch our lives, our challenges, our very souls. May we welcome him in celebration of miracles and healing and hope. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You might have hoped I'd stop talking there, but there's one more thing. It's not just about us, obviously. When we put on the mind of Christ, yep, we love ourselves and we take care of our own spiritual walk, but we also, to put on the mind of Christ, love our neighbors as ourselves. And so that's the next part. And we ask for help and guidance. So maybe you'll look upon those palm branches and ask God to show you and pray for the help and the guidance that you might need to reach out to a neighbor. And so, again, and just for a few brief sentences, I invite you to close your eyes again. And take one deep breath. And picture in whatever beautiful way you desire an image of the light of Christ. See that light coming into the very heart of our day, of this time, this city, into your neighborhood, your workplace, your home, and guiding your life, guiding this country, guiding the world, asking uncomfortable questions that challenge us and invite us to do the right thing, to follow the way of charity and forgiveness and love. Do we yield to the power of the Lord in our lives without even knowing the way? Do we yield? And are we willing to say yes? Amen.